Amen. Let me turn this off so you can see this. We're just going to relax in the Lord today. Rest in the Lord. Amen. Amen. I had talked last week, I had preached about what will you say when you get to that Bema seat judgment. And so I want to talk a little bit more in detail about that this Sunday, about what that's all about, because it's really not a judgment of condemnation, but it's an opportunity for God to reward. The Bible says that He's not forgotten your labor, your work, and your labor of love. Because some people have really sacrificed for this gospel. Some people have given all. Paul said, listen, I gave up all kinds of things for this gospel's sake. Amen. I didn't have a family. I don't really have a permanent house. I gave up everything, but everything I count as but what? Dung. He put it on the same level as refuse. All of his worldly goods, all of his ambitions, he put God before them. So some of us are going to get some different rewards. Amen. And we're going to discuss some of that, because in the Greek, the word for that is bema seat. And I term it a throne of grace. Amen. Because the Bible says whatever we do, it's only the good works that He's already prepared for us to do. Whatever our best works is, it's only our expected works. I mean, you know, when you're living at home and you're a teenager, there's some chores you have to do. You know, you take out the trash. If you take out the trash, you can't feel like you've done something special, because that's what you were supposed to do. Amen. Got an amen over there. Amen. Amen. That's what we were supposed to do, is to take out the trash, so to speak. Amen. So let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Let me see if I can rebuke those gremlins before they start up today. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, right? So we're going to be getting some things for what we have done and what we haven't done. That's what I talked about. So what is the Bema seat? Well, Paul was referring to Greek sports. In the Greek amphitheater, they had their sports game, their Olympic games. At the end of the ceremonies, at the end of the races, the winners would go before the judge of the games to receive their reward. So this is where Paul got this, because he was speaking to a Greek crowd who understood what he was talking about. He said the judge's purpose was to determine what position the runners came in. All of last week, maybe you've been aware, they've been doing the U.S. Olympic trials. They've been choosing the team that's going to go to Tokyo. And so they have semifinals and finals, and it's the first one, two, or three that qualify to go to the games. And so there is a judgment. Sometimes they do a photo finish to see who actually crossed. And sometimes the margin is so small. I would hate someone. Paul says, don't let someone take away your crown. I wouldn't want to lose by some of the margins I see, you know, 1/10 of a second. 1/10 of a second, someone is not going to the games. 1/10 of, they could have been practicing and rehearsing hours a day for 2 or 3 years just for that event, and come down to 1/10 of a second, someone beat them out. The Bible says, let no one take your crown. No one, that means you have to try and give it your all. See, the judge's purpose was to determine what position the runners came in, first, second, and so on, and then to give out the appropriate rewards. In those days, they would give out a laurel wreath and other prizes. And so that is what Paul was talking about when he said, we must all, he was talking to Christians, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And it's not to determine our salvation. If you get to that seat, you're saved. But there are different rewards. Two of the disciples went to Jesus one time and they said, we want to sit on your right hand and your left hand. They got the other disciples upset. Like, who do they think they are that they want to sit on his left and his right hand? And Jesus said, can you drink the cup that I drink? Can you baptize with the same baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? What he was talking about is the trials that he was going to go through. And they didn't understand. Many times we say, yes, Lord, I'll do anything. But when push comes to shove, will you really do anything? Will you really do anything? We are so quick to say, yes, Lord, I'll do anything you want. Anything you want, until it's something difficult. Till it's something that's going to cost us our time, cost us our effort, cost us maybe our finances. So the Bema Seat Judgment is a reward for those who have sacrificed, those who have pushed through that one-tenth more, those who have been willing to give it all up and mean it. Jesus looked at them and said, you know, yes, you will. They didn't understand, but nearly every single one of the disciples in the end gave their life. That is the utmost sacrifice. Yes, Jesus, I'll do anything for you. All right, come to church on time. I'll go to Timbuktu. I'll go to Haiti. I'll go to... But I can't come to church on time. Can't come to midweek service. That's just too much. Too much. See, there's going to be different rewards. Some of us are just going to barely make it in. You know, there's a joke that they say, what do you call the student who graduates last in medical school? You know what you call the student who graduates last in medical school? Doctor. I said graduates. They still call him doctor. So some of us will get the title for doctor, but we won't have much else because we made it in, but just barely, with God's mercy and grace. You see, salvation is not based upon works, but the Bema Seat rewards is based upon our sacrifice. Mark 16:16 tells us that salvation itself is not based upon works. We couldn't do it, but God still does reward effort. The proof of it is with Nicodemus. Why did God's attention focus on Nicodemus? He says, because your alms have come up for me as what? A memorial. Nicodemus, not even knowing the truth, just knowing there was Jehovah God, was doing a work, was doing alms. He was working for the kingdom, even though he couldn't understand what was the depth of it. And the Bible says that his work came up as a memorial before God. Your work can come up as a memorial before God. Did you know that? I'm telling you that we can do a work that God is going to give us a reward. But some of us will have to do a little bit better practice. We'll have to push through a little bit or lift a little bit more spiritual weights, so to speak. So when we come to that Bema Seat, it said we should not focus on the Bema Seat as Christ judging our sins, because the Bible says if we should judge ourselves now, we shall not be judged. It's not a judgment of sins. It's a judgment of what you sacrificed for the kingdom. Because above all things, God is a God of justice. And why would it be that someone like Paul, who gave up his whole life for the kingdom, should get the same reward as some of us who graduate last in medical school? So we will have to give an account for the grace that God has given us. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So the Bible explains that in Romans chapter 14:10. It says, you then, why do you judge your brother, or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand. We will all stand. You see, we may criticize someone and say they're not doing enough in the kingdom. But it's not for us to determine that. It's just for us, the Bible said, to run our race with patience. Now that sounds strange. How do you run a race with patience? You'd think you want to run a race without patience, but it's not. The reason why it says that is because this is not a 100-meter dash. That's not kind of the race it is. This is a long distance marathon. You got to pace yourself. You see people, they're so hot and on fire for God for 2 minutes. They come to church 3 Sundays and want to do everything. And then the 4th Sunday, have you seen so-and-so? They think this is a 100-meter dash. No, this is a marathon. It's he that endureth to the end. It's not a slow, how fast you can go. The Bible says the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. But it's he. Right. So we have to run this race with patience. It may look like there's some people passing us, but you wait a lap or two, they're out of gas. You'll be lapping them very shortly, because they are not running this race with patience. And as soon as something comes up, they fall by the wayside. So Paul here is saying, don't be judging someone else. Just look to your own salvation. Isn't that what the scripture says? We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I cannot work out even my wife's salvation. She may love me, but she can't work out my salvation. Salvation is a personal thing, because each one of us is going to have to give an account. And it's a surety. The Bible says it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account. That was my message a couple weeks ago. I said, what will you say? I will say, well, I couldn't do that, Lord, because, and I'll give some excuse. You see, we can all give some excuse. But as I told you with the parable of the talents, the one who only got one, he said he was afraid. What was he afraid of? It wasn't his money. He had nothing to lose. If he had lost it, would he be any worse off than at the beginning? No. That's why the master was mad. Any talent we have, it's not ours anyway. If we don't succeed, we shouldn't be any worse off, because it wasn't ours in the beginning. The Bible gave to the church gifts and talents. Amen. And so we're going to have to give an account for what we did. You know, when I was growing up in my teenage years, I was a much better guitar player than I was now. And I had the opportunity to play for all kinds of stuff. But you know where I learned to play? In church. That was God's gift. I couldn't take God's gift and use it for something else. I couldn't do that. We're all going to have to give an account. Maybe it's cleaning the church. You're going to be able to give an account and say, you came here. I have to race this lady on a Sunday morning to get here before her. Amen. We're all going to have to give an account for what we got with the talent. We need a talent of cleaning the church. Otherwise, it would be a mess. We need a talent of helps. Some people, they're just, what can I do to help you? What can I do to do this? I know I'm not too handy at stuff. Brother Joe did such a brilliant job with the men's bathroom. Brother Tim helped with the doors. There's other people who are not here today that helped. Brother Antonio helped with the ramp, the disabled ramp. You see, God has given each one of you time. I can't sing. We have some great singers. I wouldn't claim to be the best prayer leader. Sister Tanya and others of you are great at leading prayer. But whatever gift you have that is for the ministry, you'll have something to say. You see, there are going to be rewards. Here's what Jesus said, and everyone that hath forsaken or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Some of us, our house, our mansion's going to be a mansion, but it's going to kind of be plain. It's going to be kind of a plain. I don't know about a plain mansion, but I've been in some fancy ones. I don't know if Sister Angie remembers, but where we were living on Riverbend, down the road, there was a golf course. Where it starts to get ritzy, like down the road. And they built this house on the river. And they had an open day. So one day we said, let's just go see what this house looks like. And it had two garages. It had two here and two here. They had a mother-in-law suite. right? And it had a boat dock, and pulled up on the boat dock was this enormous yacht. It was at least 80 feet long, pulled up at the boat dock. And they had a bathroom, you know, where you walk through it and you have like, you have the shower heads on each side with, and then they had steam in there. You could push a button for steam. Now, I don't know what kind of mansion you're going to get. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. But if you are faithful, if you are willing to sacrifice for God, the Bible says he will not forget your labor of love. He says, everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold. When we left Milwaukee in 2005, we'd only just built this nice house. And it took us 10 years, but God has replaced it with a nice house. He has. He's replaced it with almost the same size house. Shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit. The side benefit is everlasting life. Here is the parable, which really brings this out. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, which had called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Here's something about God's justice. He's not expecting more out of you than the gifts he's given you. If you only have one gift, he's not expecting you to do 10. God is a God of justice. But you know, the reward for the person who doubled the 5 was exactly the same as the reward who doubled the 2. Because God grades on the curve. He is looking at your effort. That's what he's looking at. He's looking at the heart with which you do things. Some people do things just to get attention. It's not really for the goodness of their heart. They just want the hand clap. They just want the pat on the back. Likewise, he that received 2, he also gained the other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his... What did it say? Hid whose money? What does it say? Whose money was it? His Lord's money. Wasn't his money. He didn't have the right to do that because it wasn't his money. That's the point. When God calls us, he is going to give us something. The Bible says when he arose, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts. Gifts. So we all get the Holy Spirit, but we also get some other gifts for the edification of the church. Amen. See, God has called us to work in his kingdom. He doesn't just call you to come to church. Matthew 4, verse 17, it says, from the time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he's walking by the Sea of Galilee and saw 2 brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. You know what God looks for? People who are already doing stuff. Someone who is already working hard will likely also work hard in the kingdom. He saw these 2 brothers and they were already working. I can use these 2 men. I appreciate people who are always doing stuff. You know, I that's one of the traits that I want to be more like that. I'm a hard worker, but it's hard to detect. Well, let me explain. You see, in engineering, they have these electronic waves. They're called waves, right? They go up and then they come down and they go up and come down. And the ratio of the height to the distance is they call that the duty cycle. Now, there are some waves that they spike very high and then they come down. So most of the time you're looking at them, you think they're not doing nothing because you're missing the spike. So that's me. Now, there's other people, they're just evenly working. They're working all the time. You see them, they're working all the time. Me, you can't catch me working most of the time. So. And that's not a boast, it's because I'm lazy. But God is looking for people who are already busy. Now, it doesn't seem to make sense that God would look for busy people. In the Bible, it says, go to thou sluggard. Look at the ant. You ever seen an ant just sit there forever and not move? No. The ant is always moving. You ever seen an ant just sit there for 2 minutes doing nothing? No. They stop for a little bit to check stuff out, but within 10 seconds or less, they're off again. You never see an ant just sit there. You know, like you might see a fly sit on something or a lizard or a cockroach, but the ant, no. They're always busy. So Jesus saw these two men and they were working. They weren't just sitting around. He said, I can use these two. But not just to follow him, but to do something. God calls you not just to follow him, but to do something. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So all of you, whether you know it or not, are working. You're building something. You may not realize that, but you're building something. Here's what Jesus said. He told a story of a man who was building a house. Some people build their house on sand. But first, before you even start building a house, you have to lay the foundation. I remember when we were fixing the house down there and we wanted to expand it, they said, you can't just put the brick out there. You got to first dig down before you build up. They told us you have to first lay a foundation. You can't just build an extension out on the ground. No, that won't work. So I learned that you had to dig down about 4 feet and pour a foundation before you even started to build up. A lot of people want to build up. They want to come from the street to preaching out. They have no foundation. They can't quote the scripture correctly. They misinterpret things. I mean, they have a good heart, but they have not taken the time to lay a foundation. And so someone out there will come and ask them some question and trip them up. Corinthians says that for other foundation can no man lay that than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So first, before we even begin to build our Christian ministry or our work, we have to make sure that we are grounded and rooted, that we have studied. Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved, a workman that is what? Not be ashamed. Not be ashamed. Christopher made a podcast just the other day on the Black Hebrew group. And he said that you have to better know your Bible if you're going to talk to one of them people. Because they'll run you around in circles. So the Bible says that before we even start building on our gifts, we better be rooted and grounded. Amen? So the first man was in a hurry. He wanted it to be easy. He found a flat, sandy spot. He didn't bother with any digging. He just built the wall straight onto the sand. Now, you know, just this week, there was a condominium that collapsed. And they're trying to figure out what made it collapse. And there are all kinds of theories, but that condominium is on an island out in Miami. They have these little barrier reef islands. And underneath, when you go down, underneath is sand. And because of erosion, they're speculating that maybe seawater got underneath. And over the years, because they didn't upkeep the building, because there was a report that there was an inspection and they found that a lot of the concrete had rotted and there was, it really needed some work. And you know what happens when we ignore our foundation? It's going to collapse. There's going to come a storm in our life. And because we don't know that we know that we know who Jesus is, Satan is going to bring doubt. He's going to bring confusion and he's going to bring fear. So this person that Jesus, he built his house upon the sand. He didn't dig down before he went up. And so his house was finished first because he was cutting corners. It looked good, but it couldn't really withstand the storm. The Bible says every man's work shall be made manifest. Daylight's going to declare it. The storm's going to declare it. because it shall be revealed by fire. Your Christian work is going to be tested by fire. And shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, what's going to happen? He's going to receive a reward. That's the Bema Seat reward. That's what I'm talking about. When you have used your gift, God, and it's first of all been built on a foundation of Christ, and you build it properly, you're going to receive a reward. But this person who built it on the sand, here comes a storm, and the first big storm that comes, it's going to crumble. 1 Corinthians 3:14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive his reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. You know, as I said, you may barely get in, just you. Just you. The Bible says, and I think she mentioned it in the prayer breakfast, that when they had maybe it was Friday night, when there was a feast at Passover, you had to come, but you couldn't come empty. You had to bring something with you, a sacrifice. So the second man, he wanted to build a more solid foundation. It takes more time because the other person is racing ahead. You got to dig down first. See, our Christian work has got to be based upon obedience. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. What did Jesus go on to say? He is like the man that buildeth his house on a rock. When you start to listen to the word and you start to take it and obey it, then your foundation is built on a rock. So he dug deep trenches of his wall so that they were built straight onto the strong rock beneath the soil. It's harder work, takes more time. But when the storm comes, you can be secure. You can be secure. Yeah, my faith is grounded because I've taken some time to prove this thing. I know this thing. You see, when we respond to God, he has always got a reward for us. When he called Abraham, he didn't just call him. He said, listen, Abraham, you obey me. And listen, I've got a reward for you. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abraham ended up a very rich man, a blessed man, called by God and given everywhere his feet were going to walk. Let's look in Psalms 19 because it says something about the rewards. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. You see, if you've been listening and digging down into the word, when Satan comes with his tricks, you ever receive them spam calls? Let me see. I got several different versions last week. Let me see. It was Amazon. This is the Amazon service center to say, we've detected some fraud on your account, and we would, if you will hold on, one of our, it's going to come and discuss it with you. If I had the time, I would just play along, but most of the time I have to hang up. I just love to play along and talk them around, but I don't have the time. You see, when you are deep into the word, you know, I've dealt with Amazon so many times, I can tell when it's fraud, when they're calling and it's, some Nigerian prince. Nothing against Nigerians, just send me some money and I'll send you more money, yes. Moreover, by God's word is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great, not a little, great reward. You know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to tell you about some of the prizes. Amen. The last time I taught this was about 6 years ago, I think. Amen. But there are prizes for
for those who get to the Bema seat. Revelation 2:7 says, he that hath an ear. I don't see anyone in here who doesn't qualify. That's why God gave us two. You lose one, you still have one. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The first reward we're promised is that we get to eat of the tree of life. Amen? We get to eat of the tree of life. Do you know there are billionaires today spending millions trying to live just a little bit longer? And they don't understand that God has promised those who just love him and will endure, you get to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, there's a result. There's a thing you have to qualify for that. And that's a result of a heart full of love for Christ. You have to love God. You're not going to make it if you don't love God, because it's too easy to give up. If you don't have a basic desire to serve God, then coming here is just a club. You just come in here to see people or to show your dress or your suit or sing or whatever it is. You have to come here because you love God and you love his work and you love his kingdom. But if you will come here and out of love, if you will do the work, God says, I've got a present for you. I've got a surprise for you. You know, growing up, I could never surprise the kids because around Christmas, they would tear up the house to find their Christmas presents. The only time I think I surprised Paul is when I hid it at church. We bought him a drum set. And we put it out in the sanctuary and we brought him to church. And he says, who's that drum for? Wow, look at that drum. And it took him a while before he realized that it was for him to play for the church. Amen. See, God has hidden things, but they're in the church. God has hidden things, but they're in the church. That's where you'll find what you're really looking for. You can find someone out there, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but that's probably going to be a disaster. Amen. It's in the church what you're looking for. That's right. It's going to be a disaster. Let me tell you something else that he has promised. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Revelation 2:11. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. That's the one that really counts. Because Jesus said, don't fear those who can just kill the body. Rather fear those who can destroy your soul in hell. This is what Paul said. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. Paul was killing Christians. Paul was in righteous indignation. But when God, out of a sovereign choice, says, yeah, I choose you, of all people, to take this gospel before kings, he said, I didn't waste it. I didn't waste that grace. I didn't waste that mercy. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. He just said, he had a 360, 180, I should say, turnaround. He gave up his title with the Sanhedrin. He gave up his title as being a Pharisee of the Pharisee. And he says, now I know who you really are. Now that you've said it is I, Jesus, I realize that none of this other stuff matters. So he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. I didn't wait. Some people waste God's grace. You know who comes to mind? Saul. Israel desired a king. God chose this man who was, the Bible said he was head and shoulders above. He was tall. He was strong. He looked like a king. God chose him when he was looking after donkeys. God's grace. And made him a king, made him in charge of all of Israel. But what did he do? He wasted God's grace. Paul said, listen, God's grace was not without effect. It changed me. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. See, God has promised that we will escape the second death. And you know what that is? That comes from being a sound witness. All of us can do that. Be a sound witness. All you have to do is tell your... The best place to testify is actually out there. I can tell you how God saved me from bankruptcy. I can tell you how he saved me from two car accidents. I can tell you how he has blessed me and he's kept my children. I've got a testimony. I can tell you how I have a heart defect that the doctor told me at age 25 I could die at any time. And I'm now 65. See, I'm going to boast in Christ. I'm going to try and make sure that his grace was not wasted. Because certainly I have hogged a lot of his grace. I've taken more than my fair share. I can tell you that. God has been so merciful. Amen. Now here's where it starts to get really good. Are you ready for this? You all like bling? All right. There is someone who's honest here. All right. Okay. You know, God has got a stone. Look at this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the church is, what the Spirit says to the church. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna. I forgot about the food part. There's some food in this too. Angel's food. He's going to give you some food that, better than steak, better than, you know, there's some cuts of beef that they, from some cows in Tokyo. The cows are hand massaged. They actually massage the cows. And these cuts of beef are hundreds of dollars per pound. They call Wagyu beef. Have you ever heard of it, Sister Audrey? Okay, but these cuts of beef, look it up. They're, if one meal would be like a couple hundred dollars. But that is not going to compare to the hidden manna. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna and a white stone. You know what color is comes from the white? All the others. Do you understand what God is saying here? If you remember, the high priest used to have 12 stones on his breastplate with the 12 tribes, and each one was a different color. See, what God is doing is combining all of them and giving us the superior stone. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. In the stone, a new name. Not Reuben, Issachar, you know, Levi, but a new name. Do you understand what it's saying? We are kings and priests. This is what's going to happen at the Bema seat. Some of you who have been praying for people, you know what you're doing? You're interceding. You're acting as a priest. When you get down on your knees and you're praying, that's what you're doing. And because of that, God's going to give you a white stone. It's also the color of an overcomer. To him that overcometh, right? Him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and we'll give him a white stone. And in that stone, you're going to get a new name, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Isn't that awesome? Because it's out of, when you split white light, what you get is all the other colors. God is reversing that process, combining all the stones that were on the ephod and making you a king and priest. The next thing you're going to get is your own star. Revelation 2:26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. You become a ruler. You become, I don't know where you will rule, but he says, I'm going to give you power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Even as I received of my Father, I'm going to give him the morning star. You get your own star. You may have wondered why there's so many millions of stars. Because there's one of them with your name on it. Now, the reason you're going to get this, you see the conditions? I hope you're reading the conditions. He that overcometh and keepeth my works. So this is for someone who is avoiding the world's mess. See, when you're avoiding the world's mess, you qualify for this reward. Amen. Let me hurry on here. You get divine identification. I've said this before, but God's going to call out your name. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out of his name. I've been talking about that, out of the book of life. But I will confess, I will call your name before my Father and before his angels. God's going to call your name and say, "Hast thou considered my servant? How they kept on going even though they came across sickness, even though they lost their job, even people hated them, even though people spoke about them, even though they felt like giving up, they endured." They have you seen that person? Gabriel, have you seen how the devil tried to knock them down? You see how they got discouraged, but yet they held on to my name. So I'm going to have to shout their name. He's going to give you a shout out. I will confess, I'm going to shout his name before my Father and before his angels. You see, that comes from a pure walk. The Bible says, the pure in heart, they shall what? See, there's some reward. We're not just serving God to come to church, but there's going to be some great reward. Isn't that what he told Abraham? There's going to be some exceeding great reward. And of course, we get a new name. A new name. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. See, every time God reveals a name, there is a change of relationship. See, when you got married, there was a name change because there was a change of relationship. In the Old Testament, he told Moses, "By my name, Jehovah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't know me. They just knew me as God Almighty, as El Elyon, God Most High. But because I want to be intimate, I'm going to tell you my middle name." Who knows your middle name? Probably only people who are close to you, right? Usually people. My brother hated anyone telling his middle name. And my mother was the same way. I only found out her middle name from my aunt. Some people, they don't want to tell them. But God told Moses, "Listen, by my name, Jehovah, was I not known?" Because every time God wants to get close to you, he's going to tell you another secret. This final revelation, he says, "I'm going to tell you my new name. And I will write upon him my new name." There's still a mystery yet to be revealed. Isn't that awesome? There is still an intimacy that we are going to get between us and God. And I just put that as a result of holding to the things of God. See, when you hold to the things of God, when you endure to the end, there's a reward. You're going to get to a new name. And you're going to get to know his name. Then, here's another big, big one. You get to sit on a throne. Revelation 3:21. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne." In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, there were no seats. The priests weren't allowed to sit when they ministered. They had to go in there, and there were no seats. There was only one seat, and nobody could sit in it. Anyone remember what that was called? The mercy seat. In fact, they couldn't even see it. The only person who ever saw it once a year was the high priest, and that only through a veil of steam, because he couldn't even look at it straight through. Before he went in there, he had to take a pan from off the altar, the golden altar, and pour incense on it and pour the blood on it, and there was this steam coming up. Then he was allowed to go in there, and I bet he was shaking in his boots. Because between the cherubim dwelt the presence of Almighty God. But Jesus said, when he arose, I am now sat down. You know why he sat down? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, we can now come to a throne of grace. There to obtain mercy. In the Old Testament, there was no mercy. There was no one sitting down there. You broke the law, you died. Bible in Hebrews said at the word of two or three witnesses, that's all you needed, and that was it. The word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression received a just recompense. Exodus 23, God warned him, said, listen, I send my angel before you. You better beware of him because he's not going to pardon your transgression. Nobody sat down in the mercy seat. But I remember when Jesus arose and they looked in the tomb. What did they see? One angel at the head, one angel at the foot. See, it was a representation of the mercy seat. Jesus says, I am now sat down. Isn't that great? The Bible says that we can come boldly to a throne of grace, there to obtain what? That's what I need. I don't know about you. That's what I need. You see, because we have worshiped, we are going to be able to sit on his throne. I am sat down with my Father in his throne. All through history of the Old Testament, nobody could sit down. They had to go in there and stand up, whatever they were doing, because the seat was reserved for the only one who could grant us mercy. Amen. But you know, as they say on those game shows, there's more. Just when you think it's too good, would you pay $19.95 for this? But wait, there's more. God has got so much more to give to us. There's some other things coming up here. That's why this is so good. We get to wear a crown. 1 Corinthians 9:25. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. There is a diadem that God is going to give you when you go to the Bema seat. And that is for striving for, that is by dying daily. That's by getting up and saying, you know, I don't feel like it today, but I'm going to still have joy. I'm going to worship. I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to thank God. There is a crown just for that. Amen. Striving for mastery over this flesh. It's not easy. And lots of times we may fall down, but when you get back up. I was watching one of these races, and they got caught up and the lady fell. But she didn't quit. I mean, it looked like she should give up, but she did not quit. She got back up and she won that race. See? That's what we got to do. God has called us to a race. God has called us to a fight. And if we will endure it, there's all those things I've said before, but just like on those commercials, they say, but wait. If you would pay for this, how much more? You can get two of them now. how about we give you two for the same price? Amen. There is a crown of life. God told one of the churches in Revelation, he said, fear none of these things. You know, I've been meditating about fear, and when I told someone the other day, the two worst decisions I ever made, especially as pastor, have been fear. And I said, I'd never want to make a decision based on fear again. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. There is going to be some suffering. You know why? Because we're on enemy territory. The Bible says, why think it strange? But we always do, like, Lord, why is this happening to me? And he's going, duh. I mean, we ask such stupid questions. We do. We ask God why. Like, why is this happening to me? Like, he hasn't told us like 20, 30, 40, 50 times in the Bible. Hasn't he told us that? Despite what some of these TV preachers say, all of the disciples suffered. But you know, they counted, just like Paul, whatever in this life to be nothing for the reward that they were about to get. For none of these things, don't fear for the things you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that he may be tried. And he shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful, even unto death. And you know what I'm going to give you? A crown of life. A crown of life. A crown of life. See, we are stupid. We are. I've done it too. I've been tempted to ask God why. And he's saying, like, how many times must I tell you? You're on enemy territory. Why are you surprised that you're getting shot at? Now, if you were in your home in the kingdom, Jesus said, you know, when they came to tax him, he says, who did they take taxes off? The king's people or the subjects? He said, the subjects. And he says, well, then we better pay taxes. Jesus told Pilate, if this were my kingdom now, then would my servants fight? You wouldn't be able to do anything to me. He told his disciples, listen, I could call 12 legions of angels. That's about 72,000 angels. But that would be kind of severe overkill, wouldn't it? Since one angel one night destroyed almost 200,000 of the Assyrian soldiers. Jesus did not need 72,000 angels, but he was just making a point. If he wanted to, he could call 12 legions of angels. That was more soldiers than the Roman army altogether. Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Let him truly see the real situation here. If God could open our eyes, then we would see how surrounded we are. Not just by angels, but by his love. And how he's looking down on us and say, just hold on, my child. Just hold on a little bit more. You have to go through this. This is part of the program. This is part of my plan. And we say, why? Same thing as the little child, you know. You've told them 3 or 4 times why, but they'll still come and say, but why? and you say, but I told you. I told you. Didn't I just tell you? But why? So next time your child does that, just remember that's exactly what you are doing. Exactly. This crown is for those who are faithful. Isn't that what it says? Be thou faithful unto death. Unto death. There's going to be a few people who got so many crowns piled up. Amen. Paul said, listen, therefore I will rejoice when I'm feeling weak, because that gives the power of God to rest more upon me. See, our thinking is all messed up. You know that? It really is. We don't look at it from a spiritual aspect. We just start to feel a little pain and trouble, and we're ready to question God. Why did you let this happen to me? And he said, how many times did I not warn you that? Let me read it again. The devil, that's the bad guy, shall cast some of you, that's you and me, into prison. He shall have tribulation. In this life you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome. Hallelujah. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. But wait, there is more. But wait, there's more. This isn't finished yet. I'm telling you some of the things that can happen at the Bema Seat reward, where Christ, the righteous judge, is going to give out some. You ever been at a school reward ceremony where they give them extra tassels and they get to walk up there, and the valedictorian gets to say the speech and all of that, and everybody gets to watch? Wow. They get the free ride to the top colleges. You see, if you will endure, there are some rewards that God has promised. It's not just going up there and playing a harp for $1 million. No, God has got some good things. Amen. Here's the next crown. There is a crown of glory. Now, this one's kind of special. You have to do some work to get this one. 1 Peter 5:2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, willingly, not by filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So if you're going to be teaching somebody or helping somebody, don't do it because they're paying you. Do it because you love God most of all. When you teach a Bible study, this qualifies you for this crown. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. When you counsel some young person, say, you know, sister, brother, you know, this isn't quite right. Not by constraint, but willingly, not by for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage. You know, some pastors, they want to control your whole life. Be careful what I say here. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. That was one of the things with one of the seven churches. They had the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which means power over the people. You do what I say, you wear what I say, you marry whom I say. God said, I hate that. Because pastors didn't die for you. Pastor can't get you in heaven. You're going to have to work out your own salvation. But there is a crown of glory. Those who are feeding the flock, those who are teaching, those who are guiding some people. And when the chief shepherd you shall receive a crown of glory. So I've been to the Tower of London where they keep all the crown jewels. And you know what they have to do to keep them in good shape? They're behind a glass thing with vacuum and all kinds of filtered air, because even gold will, after a while, get some dust on it. But this crown of righteousness, this crown of glory, the Bible said, fadeth not away. This is for feeding and being an example to the flock. But that doesn't just mean pastors. That means anyone who is teaching and guiding someone. That qualifies you for this crown. But wait, there is more. Isn't that good so far, what I've been telling you? See, God has got some presence. God has got some gifts for those who will be truly, truly his followers and obedient. So there is also, and you knew this one, a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4 here, there's Paul saying, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But here's the best part. He says, not for me only. Not for me only. You can get the crown of righteousness too, but unto them that also love his appearing. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Do you love his appearing? Amen. It would solve so many problems, wouldn't it? Amen. If you love his appearing, you qualify for this crown. Crown of righteousness. I'm trying to hurry here. Now, this one we can get. We can get today. Here's another one. This is the fifth crown. Crown of rejoicing. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? What that's speaking about is when you can still praise God when you're suffering. Amen. There is no more powerful prayer than praise. Amen. That's what Jehoshaphat did when the Assyrians came. He sent the choir out. That probably made them scratch their head. Like, what is going on here? They sent the choir out. He sent the singers and the musicians to lead out, and they were just singing up a storm and worshiping God. There is a crown of rejoicing. We can do some of that in second service. Are you ready to get your crown of rejoicing on? Because when you start to rejoice, it brings you into the presence. It brings you into his presence. Did you know that? It puts you on a different level. It makes Satan kind of scratch his head. In fact, it upsets him so greatly. It's just like spraying off for mosquitoes. When you start singing and giving God praise, it's just like all the devils have to go away. They can't stand that. 5 crowns you have been promised. 5 crowns. Hallelujah. This is for joyful Christians. That's what this crown is for. The Bible said Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He wasn't looking at the cross. He was looking at the end result of the cross. If we look at our suffering right now, we may not make it. But if we can see ourselves coming through, if we can see ourselves triumphant, if we can see ourselves restored, if we can see ourselves blessed, if we can see ourselves closer to Jesus, you can get some joy. Because joy is not about the situation you're in. Joy is about a future expectation. I've said that before, you know, 3 o'clock on Friday, you start to get happy. Where are you? Still at work. Nothing has changed except the time. 1 more hour. You just start to get a little bit happier. Nothing has changed, but you can still have joy. See, when you do that, you're getting qualified for the crown of rejoicing. Let no one take your crown. Let no one take your crown. Let no one, I think it's the most powerful thing against Satan is to rejoice, even when he thinks you ought not to. Hey, Job is still not cursing you. He said, naked I came, naked I'm going to go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah, you kill all my children. You did take away my wealth. You did make me sick. But still, God said, you see, he's still serving me. Still serving me. That's what I want. I want a crown of rejoicing. Amen. Amen. You see, all of this comes up. I'm going to hurry. It's summed up that we can come to this throne of grace. It's the same Bema seat. Let us therefore come boldly, not coward, because we're going to get something. If you knew you were going to get some money when you came in here, you'd all be here. You'd be running up here. All you have to say, there's two words. There's two words, free and sale. That's all you have to say, free and sale. And there's a line around the block. Do you understand that God has given us freely? Amen. Freely. Amen. He died and paid for it. Let us therefore come boldly unto a throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. You see, it wasn't because of anything we did to get into the kingdom. But once we're in the kingdom, there's a lot we can do. If you could stand with me. Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You know what that means for Milwaukee? There must be so much grace. There is the ability for God's grace to be poured out on this spot nearly more than any place in America. You know why? There's a lot of sin. There's a great amount of need. But where sin abounded, grace did much more. Amen. Hallelujah. I repeat again, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. That's the first prize, actually. We even get that prize now before we get to the throne. We can get to that part of it just by prayer, just by lifting our hands and calling on his name. Let us therefore come boldly to a throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. I hope that you have been encouraged about what is to come. That when we come to that Bema Seat judgment, There's all kinds of stuff that God has got prepared. Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, what God has got prepared for them that love him. Even what has been said does not come close to what God has got prepared for you. There is going to be a joy that cannot be expressed. There are going to be things that God can't even put into human words. It's not even fair to call them riches because it has no comparison with earthly things. As I've said so many times, when John caught a glimpse of heaven, he really couldn't describe it. He said he saw streets of gold like glass. He couldn't describe it. It says gold which was transparent. Couldn't put it into human words. Paul said the same thing. He said he saw things that were not legal, couldn't even frame in terms that he could write down. We can experience that today by faith. But one day the Bible says we will know as we are known. The key is this: run this race with patience. Run this race with patience. Hold on. Let no one take your crown. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you today for your goodness and your grace, your love, hallelujah, that you have extended to us. Lord, help us, oh God, that we will be there to receive our reward, that no one will take our crown. Lord, let there be an anointing in our second service, Lord. Let us give joyful praise. Lord, edify our hearts. Lift up, Lord God. Remove doubts and fears. Let us come boldly today that we can obtain mercy. We thank you for your blessing and your goodness, and we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. Let's get ready. Second service. We're going to start on getting our crowns. We're going to start with the crown of rejoicing. God bless you. Amen.